Vitamin intake is an important part of dietary needs. Fortay State University's Glenn McNeil talks to us a little bit about vitamins and diet on this episode of the Post Podcast. We're going to continue a conversation we started last time. We're talking about vitamins and nutrition. And as I recall from that conversation, the big takeaway for me, I think, was really doesn't matter where you're getting your vitamins as long as you're getting vitamins, right?
Yes. It kind of goes back to the old standard statement. A vitamin is a vitamin, whether it's in food or it's in a supplement, whether it's a natural vitamin or whether it's a synthetic vitamin. Okay. Now, when you say that in regards to vitamins, from a health standpoint, we always say it's best as a natural vitamin in foods. Okay, because take vitamin C for an example. You can get a supplement of vitamin C. Chemically, that vitamin C is the same as the vitamin C that's in an orange. When you take the supplement, you get vitamin C. When you consume the orange, you get fiber, you get fluid, you get a little bit of beta carotene along with that vitamin C. Okay, and then there's also some minerals that come into play with that. So what foods do is they bring us the combination of vitamins plus fiber, protein, fat, all of those things that help in the digestion and the absorption, you know, and tying through the intestinal tract, which tends to help with the absorption of vitamins. So, you know, my thing is to say, look for vitamins through your food products. Now, that's not to say don't take a vitamin supplement. I mean, if you want to take a vitamin supplement, you can. But the key here is the word supplement. That pill or that liquid or powder, whatever it is you're using, supports the vitamins in your diet. Okay. As we go through different stages of the lifespan, our need for vitamins is always there. And it sometimes you hear people say, oh, it fluctuates greatly and you need these great amounts and everything. Well, we know it fluctuates some. Okay. There's a need for when you look at certain vitamins as you age, your gastric activity slows down, you know, so it may have an effect on some particular vitamins. And it depends a lot on you, what happens with your gastric activity and your intestinal activity and things of that nature. And that's in part what some of the supplement companies do. You can buy silver brand of vitamins that's designed for people over a certain age, okay? And they may help, you know, talk to your doctor about them. Many of those contain more B vitamins, which tends to be a little bit, certain of the B vitamins tend to be a little bit lower functioning, say, in older people. And so that may be a way to help those. Do you really, really need one? Well, talk to your doctor. It's going to depend upon your overall health as to that. There are certain conditions in your life where vitamin supplements are definitely recommended and even encouraged, and that's prenatals. Okay, prenatals basically up the vitamin and in many cases mineral concentration of the diet to include extra amounts designed to support pregnancy. And especially in prenatal vitamins, one of the things we find in prenatal vitamins is folicin or folic acid, and it's a water-soluble vitamin. That's a vitamin that tends to be a little low in many Americans' diet, okay? But it's a vitamin that if it's not there just at the right time during fetal development, okay, it can affect fetal development. That's shown through many, many studies in terms of that. So there, you know, prenatal vitamins are things like such like that. People who have certain gastrointestinal conditions where maybe they have Crohn's disease or dumping syndrome or something like that may need a supplement that can be absorbed, chemically absorbed at different points in the intestinal tract. So yeah, there are some need for some things like that. But in general, if you eat a relatively well-balanced diet, you can get the vitamins and minerals you need. And it's not that we need, you know, a 1,000 milligrams of this every single day, okay? Generally, vitamin needs, the RDAs, the recommended dietary allowances of vitamins, are designed to be met over 3 or 4 days of food intake, okay? So the supplement industry, though, tries to convince you that you got to have all of these larger amounts every single day to meet your needs, but it's really over a period of time. We know that there's certain level of vitamins that circulate in your bloodstream and certain level of vitamins in your cells, and it takes a day or so to deplete those in some cases. And in other cases, it takes 6 to 9 months. It just depends on what you're dealing with. So, you know, we try to encourage people to eat those foods and those vitamins over a period of time, which is really cool because today is National Eat Your Vegetables Day.
And we talked about that earlier this morning.
Yes, you did?
Yeah.
Well, sorry, I missed.
Well, it's okay.
I didn't have the radio on when I was.
It was early this morning.
Early this morning. Okay.
I doubt anybody was listening at that point.
Oh, I'm sure some people were. Okay. But National Eat Your Vegetables Day. Vegetables are a great source of vitamins, natural forms of vitamins, precursors for vitamins, and also minerals. And you know, the best way to ensure that you're getting those is eat for color. Always have lots of color on your plate in terms of vegetables. And, you know, if you're trying to monitor your weight or if you're just trying to eat healthy, those fresh vegetables, or I'll even say cooked vegetables in terms of this nature, whether they're canned, fresh, or frozen, that should dominate your plate. You know, that should be the biggest segment of your plate is that fresh vegetable area. And then you should have, actually, if you kind of design it, they always used to say cut your plate in like 4 pieces or whatever. And a lot of the recommendation today is cut your plate in 3 pieces. Cut it in half, cut the lower half in half again. And in that lower half, you have protein source on one side, beef, chicken, pork, whatever it is you're going to use, make it lean. Then in that other half on the bottom, you have a little bit towards the starchy components of foods, which would be your potatoes, breads, corn, things of that nature. But then the top half should really be a mix of fresh vegetables. Puts color, puts variety in. And one interesting thing about vegetables is they are nutrient rich and calorie low. Okay. Now, also you include some of those things, you know, that tomatoes are fruit, not a vegetable. Okay, but we still eat it as a vegetable. So you include foods like that in the top half of the plate. So that's a good way to get your vitamins. Okay, it's also a good way to get minerals and fiber and you know, phytonutrients that you need in your diet too. So, you know, leads us to National Vegetables Day, which is good. Last time we talked a little bit about vitamin A and vitamin D, which were two of the 4 fat-soluble vitamins. The other 2 fat-soluble vitamins are vitamin E and vitamin K. Vitamin E has been in the news for years, okay? Vitamin E is one of those vitamins that you can consume about as much as you want of. I mean, you can go overboard, but it's pretty hard. And vitamin E is found in things like wheat germ oil, many nuts. Almonds are really rich and good in vitamin E. Baseball season's here, sunflower seeds, okay? Even though they don't much as eating and spitting at all the parks and everything.
Right.
You know, but sunflower sources are great sources of vitamin E, which means so is sunflower oil, safflower oil, all those. If you like peanuts, peanut butter, the good sources. Again, as we go through the gardens, red bell peppers. Bell peppers in general have some vitamin E in them. Red bell peppers tend to be a good source. Collard greens, spinach, beet greens. You know, there's a lot of vitamin E in a lot of different things. Okay, and the biggest thing about vitamin E, it's what we call an antioxidant. It's a compound called alpha-tocopherol. Okay, that's the chemical name, and there's a few varieties of that. But it collects all the free radicals in your body and helps to remove them. And the free radicals are those electrons running around that bounce around in your system that kind of make the functions change in a negative response. So vitamin E is that. Now, a lot of lotions contain vitamin E, okay? And people say and they put them on their skin and their skin looks better. Okay, that is a vitamin E oil. It is a fat-soluble oil that gets involved into the creases of your skin and causes them, when that oil gets involved in them, they level out a little bit. So as long as you keep putting that vitamin E oil on there, it helps the skin. People use vitamin E on wound healing to help reduce scars because it promotes that antioxidant skin healing process. Spreading vitamin E on your skin, though, does not meet your internal metabolic needs of vitamin E. It doesn't do the antioxidant functions in the cell. The skin cells, the outer layer of skin, doesn't have the right genetic coding to use the vitamin E in that manner. So when you put vitamin E on your skin, yeah, it's good for your skin, keeps your skin soft and everything, but it's not absorbed, at least not in a significant amount of concentration to meet your dietary needs. Now, the good thing about vitamin E is one of the best sources is cooking oil, period, whether it's sunflower, safflower, corn, or whatever. So we see very few vitamin E problems in the world. Because everybody uses some form of cooking oil.
Yeah, no matter what you're cooking, you're going to need some oil.
Right. And there's some things about taking supplemental vitamin E and for cardiovascular disease and some of those things. And yes, okay, but you're still getting, you know, plenty through your diet. Then the last of the fat-soluble vitamins is vitamin K. Vitamin K the thing about vitamin K is it performs quite a few functions in the body, and most of those functions relate to the blood's ability to clot. Now, vitamin A doesn't cause the clot. You know, when you get injured, your blood clots from that process. Mm-hmm. Okay. But what vitamin A is involved in is how the metabolically, how the clot forms. Okay. It's used to help produce a compound called thrombin, which then goes to prothrombin, which then goes to thromboplastin, which then mixes with some carbohydrates and protein, and that's the clot. Well, the formation of that thrombin early on needs that vitamin K. Okay, most people don't have an issue with vitamin K. And dietary issues with vitamin K are very unusual, unless you're getting too much and taking a blood thinner. Too much vitamin K, natural vitamin K or synthetic vitamin K, will interfere with the class of drugs that are used as blood thinners. Okay, so you want to watch foods that are high in vitamin K. For most people, this isn't too much of a problem because one of the best is spinach. So we don't have a lot of people that eat spinach. But broccoli and iceberg lettuce are also relatively high. Now, iceberg lettuce is not real high in vitamin K, so usually it's not too much of a problem. But iceberg lettuce, we don't talk too much about because it's mainly water.
Yeah.
And have a whole lot of nutritional value. There are some fats and oils, okay, that are high in vitamin K, and in particular, soybean oil and canola oil. Now, not high enough that you have to remove them from your diet if you're on a blood thinner, but you do monitor. Okay, it's very important to stay in contact with your doctor. And usually, if they put you on a blood thinner, they'll give you a list of foods to avoid. And they may not tell you why, but it's usually what that list is that's a high vitamin K list. Breakfast cereals, which are typically fortified with everything. Eating a commercial breakfast cereal is like taking a vitamin supplement, really, these days. They spray all those vitamins on. Well, most of them don't contain added vitamin K, just because of the way it is in the diet. But if you're using meal replacement beverages, if you're using health shakes, if you're using those types of compounds, read the label. Some of them are high in vitamin K than others are. So you want to do some of that. We don't see much vitamin K, but we do find that dietary supplements contain some, but it's usually mixed more in with mineral supplements, magnesium and calcium, than anything else. So, you know, we have natural vitamin K and we have a synthetic form. We don't see the synthetic form of vitamin K used to be really popular. But, in the 90s, there was a study, vitamin K3 is what it is called. There was a study in the 90s saying that the longer it was used, it had a negative effect upon liver cells in animals. Okay, never tracked into humans, never showed in humans or anything like that. And so that just sort of reduced. I mean, it's still around, it's still used. But the study was done with pretty high concentrations, and it just kind of said, be concerned here. Doesn't mean you have to stop using it. So we do have vitamin K1 and vitamin K2, both of which are effective, and are often used. And we do find filoquinone is a form of a synthetic vitamin K that does get used a little bit and is basically real vitamin K, but just synthetic form. And so it's pretty healthy. So, you know, with what we did last time and this time, that's the four fat-soluble vitamins. You get them in your diet by including some fat in your diet. You need some fat in your diet, so those vitamins are there. You need that fat in your diet, or lipid, if you prefer that term, so that you can effectively absorb those fat-soluble vitamins, because when you absorb lipids, you absorb those fat-soluble vitamins along with it. The same is true, the triglycerides in your bloodstream. We always talk about you want low triglyceride levels for heart health. Well, those triglycerides are important because that's how you transport these fat-soluble vitamins and other fat-soluble compounds around. So this kind of gets back to the last point here. For the last 4 to 5 years, nutritionists, health people have been talking about healthy. Nobody can see me doing my little things. Yeah.
Air quotes.
They talk about healthy fats in the diet. This is why you want those healthy fats that come from. They're polyunsaturated and monounsaturated, and they come from plants. Now, you still get some saturated fat from animal products, and a little saturated fat's good. Good for you. Okay, but that's also the one we tell you to control more often because it has a negative implication in terms of cardiovascular disease. So eat your vegetables, and on the vegetable side, you get some vitamins, not very many fat-soluble vitamins, but you also get some of those precursors the body can turn into vitamins, such as the beta carotene in carrots, that type of thing. Okay, so eat fresh vegetables for those. Eat your fresh vegetables more for fiber and water-soluble vitamins, which, I mean, our kind of plan to go along with is next time we introduce the water-soluble vitamins, and there's 13 of those, and they're different than the fat-soluble vitamins, and they function differently, and we get them and handle them differently in the body. So we'll kind of mix those in with whatever National Food Day is that we meet on.
Excellent. Glenn, it's always good to chat with you.
Yeah, thanks. I mean, you give me a great forum here, and it's nice really just to get the information out and encourage people to eat well and to eat healthy, knowing that you're not always going to eat healthy. You go to the grocery store, I go to the grocery store, and the bag of Cheetos screams my name, you know, from that, and or something like that, or maybe some processed cookies or something. But there's always fresh fruit and fresh vegetables in my cart. You know, we use frozen products. We look for lower sodium products when we shop. I've said before, I love to follow people around the grocery store to see what's in your cart. Hey, people can follow me around the grocery store and see what's in my cart, and you're going to see I try to go to the fresh produce first and put a bunch of what I'm going to need there in my cart. One, it kind of fills my cart up, so I feel guilty about putting too much other stuff in there. But I've always got a few of those other things. You know, they're part of our food chain. They're part of our food supply. And moderation is the key, you know, when you do that. So enjoy food. Try to make it as healthy as you can, but also knowing, you know, a little nice something or other every so often is just a treat for yourself, and so that helps you enjoy it. And then I guess I'm over time, am I?
Yes, yeah, we got to get over to news, but
okay,
you're okay.
One more thing before we go to the news: it is going to be hot. It was hot yesterday. It is going to be hot today. It's going to be hot tomorrow.
I think I saw like 112 or something today. It's going to be crazy.
Wow. And then you know,
not quite that.
I watched the weather, and they said it's going to cool down next week. Hydrate. If you're out in the sun, drink water. Drink sports drinks. Don't drink just sports drinks, though. If you're going to drink those, drink sport drink and drink water. Drink sport drink and drink water. Okay, mix the two together. It will help you. But drink water. Stay out of the real heat. If you're going to exercise, get up super early. Exercise super late. If you're trying to do things outdoors, protect yourself. You know, water's, everybody always says, in every relationship with health, water's the key. Well, our bodies are over 60% water, and that's why we have to keep that water level high to keep ourselves cool. Mm-hmm. So drink water, you know, tap water. You know, if your well water's good, drink well water. If you like bottled water, if you want to spend the extra money, drink bottled water.